John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It's a familiar story. This is the story of the water to wine at the marriage of Cana, and the first miracle that Jesus performed in his public ministry. And so we're going to read this story, and then we're going to talk about, if I were to entitle the message, it would be Whatever He Says. It comes from that verse, kind of when Mary comes to Jesus, and we're going to read through here, and we'll read this story and then have a word of prayer and get into the message this morning. But John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, if you would follow along with me as I read this morning. It says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and I pray that you would bless now this time. I pray that you be with me as I preach. I pray that you would bless this message and, Lord, the thoughts that you've laid on my heart. And I pray that you would just move in the service and, Lord, help us to realize the importance of doing what you tell us. And, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning, that we would leave here better and closer to you than when we got here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We see this story, and as I said, a very familiar story. We see Jesus, his mother, and his disciples being called to this marriage in Cana of Galilee. We see, as we go through, that the wedding ceremony and the festivities had taken place, and they had been going on for a while, and they come to Mary, and these servants here come to Mary and say, "Hey, we've run out of wine." And just kind of as a side note, what a influence Mary must have been in this family, whether she had known them for a while, or maybe she was just influential in the community, or whatever the case may be. But they come to Mary and they say, we don't have any more wine. And she comes over to Jesus and she meets with him and says, "Hey, they have no wine." Very simply, she comes to him and says, "They have no wine." And Jesus' response, as we know, is one who says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." Basically, it's not time for me to be doing this yet. And I find it very interesting that she doesn't even say, don't you think you can make an exception or anything? She just turns around to the servants and says, "Whatever he says to you do, just do it." There's no back and forth of her trying to convince Jesus that now is the time. He says, "Hey, my hour isn't come yet." She says, "Hey, whatever he tells you to do, just do it." But we see that they listen to what he says, and he says, "Fill these water pots with water," and they take them and they fill them, and he doesn't have to do anything to them. He just says, "Fill it." They obey, and he says, "Okay, you filled it up. Now take that and give it to the governor of the feast, or the person who's running this feast." And we know how the governor calls everyone and says, hey, usually the people put the good wine out and then they bring the bad for later, but you have done it backwards. You had some wine and it was good and all, but this is so much better. You've saved the good for last." And we see here some situations that I believe are very similar to things that we go through. And you say, "Well, I don't usually go to a wedding party where we run out of things to drink or anything like that." But I think we can use this more as a spiritual application to our lives and how important it is for us to look at the Bible as ways we can make spiritual applications. But we see a few things this morning. We see first a troublesome situation. We see a troublesome situation in verse number 3. It says, "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, They have no wine." And as we said, we were just talking through the story, but they faced a situation that they couldn't fix on their own. The wine, maybe it was a situation where there wasn't any more in the region, or maybe they had brought it in and that was all that they had, or whatever the situation was. Maybe they didn't have any more money to go buy any. Whatever the situation was, they had run out of wine, and they went, as we said, to Mary, and they said, "Hey, we don't have any." And she comes to Jesus and said, "They have no wine." And we can look at that and say, well, you know, what's the worst that... Really, is that really that big of a deal? But we see that this is something, this would be a shame to the family of the bride and groom. This would be something that would just totally, anything good that was going to come from this ceremony and these festivities would just kind of be pushed aside at the fact that they didn't even have enough wine, they didn't have enough drink to serve everyone. And we see this was a troublesome situation, and let me tell you that we too will often face things that we can't fix on our own. A lot of times we don't even want to face it on our own. And just like these people, maybe it's a situation where we don't have money to go buy what we need, or it's something that we're not going to be able to get for a while, or in a physical sense, or maybe it's a spiritual thing that we don't want to face because it's something that's going to be difficult. If it's sin or service to the Lord, whatever it may be, there's a troublesome situation. And let me tell you, though, well, we can look at this and say, well, that's not really a big deal, but we see that this was a big deal to them, and since it was a big deal to them, it was a big deal to the Lord. And let me tell you that when we go through something, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe the world, will look at it and say, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But if it's a big deal to us, it's a big deal to the Lord. And we see this troublesome situation that they face, and they face something that they couldn't fix, they couldn't do anything about, and they realized it was something that, hey, we're going to be a laughingstock of this area. We're going to look foolish if we can't figure this out. And we see after the recommendation of Mary, they go to the Lord and tell him the situation. We see not only a troublesome situation, but I want you to notice something here. In verse number 7, we see a total surrender. We see a troublesome situation. They had run out of wine, and they took it to a person. They thought, oh, this is an influential person. This is someone I know. Maybe she can give us some insight. And they went to Mary, and Mary points them to Jesus. She goes over and says, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus obviously replies, as we said, his hour was not yet come. But she says, hey, whatever he tells you, whatever he says, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And we see in verse number 7, if you look there with me, it says, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. But notice the next sentence here, and they filled them up to the brim. I have next to my, in one of my other Bibles, I have a note written, I wrote, a sign, a show of wholehearted surrender. Notice he says, fill up the water pots. And he says, and they filled them up to the brim. They filled them up to the brim. They filled them, they said, hey, I don't know how this is going to work. Can you imagine being a servant, maybe a caterer of sorts, or a servant who they had hired just to serve this wine, and they're there, and they've given out all the wine, they've done everything they can, they've passed it all out, and they run out, and they're, the best thing that they came up with was someone told them to fill up water pots with water. And they're saying, man, I don't know how this is going to work. And then the other one says, well, do you have a better idea? And he said, well, no, I guess not. And so they take these and they fill them and they start putting the water in and they fill them up and it gets close and like, okay. And I imagine one of them said, no. He said, fill them. Fill them all the way up. Hey, if this is going to fix the situation, I don't want to be short wine again. if he's gonna work in this behalf, I want us to make sure that there's plenty. Fill those up and don't stop until it's full to the brim. They saw that they couldn't fix it on their own, as we said. And once they turned to someone who had a solution, and as I said before, it might not have been a solution they would have ever thought of. I'm sure it wouldn't have. I know if I was trying to make a drink, I wouldn't think to fill a cup up with water. I mean, I wouldn't start with a glass of water and say, okay, this is going to become whatever, Coke. You know, it doesn't usually work like that. So this wasn't a solution they would have ever thought of, but they realized once they found out someone had a solution, they totally surrendered to him. I think a lot of times when we face the troublesome situations in our lives, God is looking for us to totally surrender to him. He's looking for us to just say, hey, I don't know how this is going to get fixed. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what you're trying to do here, but I'm going to just turn it over to you. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. If you say, fill up the water pots, I'm going to fill them up to the brim. If you say, hey, you need to read your Bible more, I'm going to read my Bible as much as I can. If you say, hey, you need to be attending church more, then I'm going to go every time the doors are open. If you say, hey, you need to be a better witness, I'm going to just surrender to you and talk to everyone I meet. Sometimes the Lord is just looking for a total surrender. And I believe that we can see this because our third point, the next thing we see is a terrific solution. We see a troublesome situation, then we see a total surrender, and then we see a terrific situation, or a solution rather. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 once again. It says, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, but knew it not, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth a good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Imagine this amazing solution to their terrible or troublesome situation. They surrender to the Lord and they do what he says. And then all of a sudden this water, they pour a cup or they scoop a cup out and they pour it and they take it to the governor of the feast. And it's interesting. The Lord says, hey, don't take it to the other servants, and don't take it to the people who are just here to see the show. Don't take it to the head man. The person who's in charge, take it to him and let him taste it. He doesn't know where it comes from. The Bible is clear to point that out to us. And he doesn't know where it comes from, and he takes a drink. And he calls the bridegroom over and says, hey, this is an interesting thing. This is something I don't know of being done before. Normally they set out the good wine, and then people drink it, and then they set out what is worse. But you kept the good wine until last. And we see this amazing solution to their situation that they were in. Once the folks of Cana acknowledged the situation and turned to Christ with a total surrender, they were granted this terrific solution. I think it's wonderful to realize that when the situation looked bleak to them, they realized once they turned to the Lord, they were given a solution. And often, I believe the only thing standing between the situation and the solution is the surrender. I think that a lot of times there's the situation that has come into our lives, whether it be a problem or just something we don't understand, and the only thing between that and the solution is us turning it over to the Lord. We try to figure these things out on our own, and we try to say, I'm going to get through this on my own. I'm going to just keep working, and there's nothing wrong with trying to work out a solution. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but a lot of times, all the Lord is looking for, the missing link between situation that you're going through and solution to it is the surrender. And I think it's very important for us to realize that we need to surrender these things to the Lord. Whatever he says, whatever he says to us, like Mary told them, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Whatsoever, anything he says, if he says, just say, oh, no more, there's no more wine, and he's going to just make it appear, that's fine. If he says, hey, give me one glass of wine, and I'm going to make it enough for everyone, like he did with the five loaves and two fishes, then that's fine. If he says, fill up those water pots with water, that's fine. If he says, fill them up with dirt, do that. Whatever he says, anything he tells you to do, do it. So let me ask you this morning, what is the thing that God wants you to surrender to him for? Is it perhaps salvation? Is the Lord calling on your heart for salvation? Because I can tell you, he tells us how to have that salvation. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But maybe we're trying to do it on our own. We see the terrible situation, the troublesome situation of sin that's going to lead to a death. But all God wants is that surrender for us to say, Lord, I know you died for me. I know you took that penalty on the cross of Calvary, and all I have to do is call on you. And then we can receive the terrific solution of his salvation and a home in heaven. Maybe he's calling for salvation. Maybe he's calling about a sin that's on your heart. Maybe a sin that's in your life. We see the situation we're in is bound by this sin, and we can't get free from it no matter how hard we try. And we see the solution on the other side. We say, I can see a life free from this sin, free from this addiction, or free from this problem that is weighing me down. And all God wants you to do is turn it over to him. Maybe he's saying, hey, if you ask me to help you with that, if you would just realize that I don't want you to be sinning, if you would just realize that all you have to do is ask me, turn to me, and then when I say, hey, do this, if you do that, if you forsake that sin and say, I'm going to trust only in Christ, I'm not going to try to be bound to this sin anymore, then you can have the solution. Maybe it's service. Maybe God is working on your heart and saying, hey, yeah, I need you to surrender to serve me. What is it that God wants you to do? Is he wanting you to work in the ministry more? Is he wanting you to be more faithful to church? Whatever it may be, we can see the situation that it has us in of not being as fruitful for Christ as we could be. And we can see the solution of living a victorious Christian life. But what we need to do is surrender to him. Maybe it's a study that the Lord wants you to surrender. You know you need to be reading your Bible more. You see the solution of not knowing the Scriptures like you should, or the situation, of not knowing the Scriptures like you should. You see the solution over here of knowing the Scriptures and being able to combat Satan when he comes to you. And all you have to do is surrender to the Lord and say, hey, I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to try to learn as much as I can so I can get from not knowing what I need to know to being over here living how I should and knowing what I should know. Maybe it's supplication. Maybe the Lord wants you to pray to him more. Maybe he wants you to call unto him and offer up prayer for the saints and for your church and for yourself and for souls. And you see yourself over here not having a prayer life like you should. You're in a troublesome situation, not having that communion with God. Sure, you might read your Bible, but you don't have that communion of praying to him. And you can look over here and see the situation or the solution of living with him and dwelling with him and having that fellowship, that closeness that comes from a prayer life with him. And all you have to do is surrender and say, Lord, I'm going to pray to you more. I need your help. And the devil's going to try to put things in my way. I know it's going to try to take time from my prayer life and the time that I set aside. But I'm going to surrender whatever you want me to do. If it's salvation, if it's service, if it's sin, if it's study or supplication, whatever the Lord wants, whatever he says, determined to do that. Whatever he says that we're supposed to follow him, we're supposed to read his word, we're supposed to follow and serve him and pray to him, whatever he says, do it. Like Mary said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let me encourage you this morning, whatever he says, do it. If he's saying, hey, if he's knocking on your heart for salvation, if he's saying, hey, you know that you need to be saved, then just surrender over to him. But ask him to save you and come into your heart. If he's knocking on your heart and saying, hey, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You know that thing that you're doing, that thing that has you bound, you shouldn't be doing that. Just surrender to him. Say, Lord, help me. Listen, God doesn't want us to live in sin. If we ask him to help us get victory over sin, he will help us get victory over sin. Maybe it's surrender or service, rather, and he's tapping on your arm saying, hey, you know that I want you to be working in serving me. I want you to be working and working in the church, working in your community to reach the lost in that service. And he's tapping on your arm saying, all you have to do is say, okay, Lord. Okay, I've done running, I've done fighting, I'm done saying, oh, not me, why me? I'm done coming up with excuses why I can't serve you. I'm going to serve you. Maybe it's that studying his word. You say, hey, you know that you need to be reading my word more. You know that you need to be reading the Bible more. You know that you're standing in a place where you don't know everything that you should. And you know that you could know more and have this victory over Satan when he comes to you. Because we can have that sword to fight back against Satan. And you know you need that. And you just say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. If you want me to read the word more, I'm going to read it. Maybe it's that supplication. You say, hey, working on your heart, saying you need to pray to me more. You need to have that relationship, that communion, that fellowship with me, like you want and like I want for you. And we can see our prayer life dwindling, but we can also see how vibrant it should be, and we just need to surrender to the Lord and say, I'm going to pray more. We're all going to face these troublesome situations. It might be a situation that comes into our life that we're not expecting, or something that we don't want to have to deal with, but the fact of the matter is that these troubling situations, these troublesome situations come to every one of us. And it might not be a situation where it's sin or something that the Lord wants you to do. It might just be a circumstance that comes in and we don't see how it's going to work out. But we can see that the Lord always offers a terrific solution when there's a situation that needs dealt with. Lord, over and over in Scripture, and the truth is it might not always be what we want it to be, but He always offers a solution. And as I said, I believe a lot of times the link, the missing link in the chain that connects the situation and the solution is our surrender to Him. So let me encourage you this morning, be someone who is totally surrendered to Christ. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says that we're to not live like the world, but we're supposed to be transformed to the mind of Christ. It continues that we may know what the good and perfect, or accept good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. And I think a lot of Christians know what God wants them to do. They're just unwilling to surrender. I believe a lot of Christians know what God's will is for their life. They know that they're supposed to be reading their Bible. They know they're supposed to be a witness. They know they're supposed to be faithful to church. I believe a lot of Christians know that. They're just unwilling to surrender to the Lord. And I don't want this church to be one that isn't surrendered. I don't want this church to be, if this church was packed full of Christians who knew what they were supposed to be doing, but not doing it, I would rather have less people that knew what they were supposed to be doing for the Lord and doing it. I would rather have Christians that were completely surrendered to God than those who are like, God doesn't actually care how I live my life. Because I believe, as I said, I believe most Christians know God does care. God does want us to be surrendered to Him. God does want us to read His Bible. God does want us to pray to Him. God does want us to serve in the church. God does want us to be a witness for souls. God does want us to be forsaking of sin. God does want us to do those things. And as I said, I think most Christians know that, but the question is, are we going to surrender? Are we going to do what God has called us to do? Are we going to do what God wants us to do from His Word? Let me encourage you this morning, be someone who says, whatever you say, Lord, whatsoever, what does the verse say? Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And then when He tells you to do something, don't just take the water pot and say, okay, put a little bit of water in this one, put a little water in this one. No. Take it and say, okay, fill this water pot up to the brim. Say, I'm gonna take this. I want to do whatever you say. Hey, I'm going to go as far as I possibly can with what you've told me to do. If you tell me to read your word, and that's the thing you're working on my heart, I'm going to do it as much as I possibly can. Every free minute I have, I'm going to be reading your word. If you want me to be praying more, every free moment I have after that, I'm going to be praying to you. If you want me to be in church, every time the doors are open, that's where I'm going to be. If you want me to be a witness to you, every time I have an opportunity to pass out a gospel tract or have an opportunity to give a witness for Christ, that's what I'm going to do. We need to be Christians who are surrendered, totally abandon our lives for the cause of Christ. Totally surrender to Him, totally doing whatever He wants us to do. And obedient, when He says, hey, do this, then do it. Say, up to the brim. Fill it up to the brim. He says, I want your life. And you say, okay, take it and I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm going to do everything I can for you. Whatever He says, whatsoever He saith to you, do it. I think that's a great reminder for us as Christians. I think that these men right here, these servants that filled up these water pots, I think these servants who didn't know who Christ was, they didn't know that He was the Messiah at this time. They didn't know anything about this man from Galilee, but I believe that they were surrendered more to Him than many Christians are today. I believe that they said, hey, I don't know how this is going to work out, but if He says, if He's got a solution and it involves me filling this up with water, I'm going to fill it up to the brim. I'm going to show wholehearted surrender that, hey, I don't care how silly it makes me look, I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And that's what we need. We need the surrender that says, whatever He tells me, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it as good as I can, I'm going to do it the best I can, and I'm going to just give Him my whole life. We see this troublesome situation and a total surrender that leads to the terrific solution. We as Christians, we love these wonderful solutions that the Lord has for us. When we see the issues that we go through, we love to see the solutions. When we see the problems that we face and the trials that we go through, we love to see how the Lord is going to work it out. And we want to see that far and see what's going to happen on the other side of the hill, so to speak. And we're like, oh, what's going on over there? And God's just saying, hey, surrender. Turn it over to me. Give me your life. Let me do with you what I want. You need to be in God's word. Whatever the situation is, we need to totally surrender to Him so that we can see the solution. Whatever He says, I pray that we're Christians. We'll be Christians who are totally surrendered to Him. And then we say, Lord, whatever You tell me to do, whatever You say, I'm going to do it. If I'm supposed to fill up the water pots, I'm going to fill them up, and I'm going to fill them up to the brim. If I'm supposed to, be closer to You, I'm going to do everything I can to get closer to You. Whatever You say, have that total surrender. The problem between the situation and the solution is our surrender. And I pray that we'll be Christians who are surrendered to Him, and then once we surrender, just give our lives over to serving the Lord. Whatever He says, whatever He says.